Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, June the 5th, 2026. 6:05:26, first Friday in the month of June. 15 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Joined live in studio here on this Friday night by Matt Morgan. National Donut Day today, and we thank Kroger and Bob Walsh for giving us the donuts earlier on today. And they were good. A lot of people enjoyed the donuts here on National Donut Day.
That's good, yeah. Donuts are good.
Did you enjoy those, Matt?
I did, yes.
It is National Donut Day. Now, also in studio tonight with us, and we're very glad to have him here, is Aaron Brewer. He competed in the Bravo competition, which we profiled here on this station for a couple weeks. Aaron, good to have you in the studio tonight.
Great to be here, Scott.
Aaron, what is new in your world?
Well, just this Tuesday, I've got my first vehicle, a normal Dodge 1500. Flawless vehicle. Oh, very long week, though, you know. Here and there, doing some work with my grandma, doing some work with my father, doing stuff around the house. You know, just long daily stuff. Some stuff around the properties, some stuff off the property. Just normal day-to-day manual labor.
Now, I hear you have a landscaping business.
Why, yes, sir, I do.
Tell us about the business.
It's actually going pretty well. I go around with my father from time to time with a normal F-150, but now, since I have my truck, I'll be going around with a normal lawnmower, zero turn on the back, and a push mower, and some weed eater, and some fuel in the back. Name of my business is Aaron's Emergency Landscaping, so if you're in a pinch and you need your yard mowed or weed eated, just give me a call.
Now, I am curious. Oh, I'm actually getting a call here right at the top of the program. All right. Go ahead, caller.
I only have a few minutes, Scott, and I thought you might want to hear an interesting Chicago story.
Oh, good. Adam's... Go ahead, Adam.
You might actually be of more interest to your younger guests. Aaron, you're Naomi's son, I believe, right? So you're like 18 years old or something. So this might interest you. This will interest Matt. I had a service call today in a nice north side neighborhood, and I was really impressed by the house. It was like an 8,000-square-foot mansion when I thought it would be like a condo or apartment. That's usually what you have in that area. And so I did a little research on the house, Scott, and you know what I found out?
What did you find out, Adam?
Well, this is R. Kelly's previous residence.
Oh.
I'm not a fan. I don't really listen to, I really know nothing about current music, but I've heard of R. Kelly. I mean, I know he was a big star, and I think he's in prison somewhere, but that's how it goes sometimes. But, you know, he is from
Chicago.
That
is how it goes, yes.
The south side, but this was a house that he lived in for several years, I believe through 2002 or so. And it's been renovated multiple times. And I worked basically with an assistant to the owner. You're talking about a $3 million house, but I thought that was kind of fascinating. You just never know what you come across. So I thought, especially Matt, I'm sure he's heard of R. Kelly. I think maybe he would find that to be rather intriguing. So,
Adam, how many...
That's my Chicago story
right
today.
Adam, how many prisoners' former homes have you been in?
Well, I guess you don't really know if someone is now in prison. And, at the encouragement of myself and others, our brother in the podcasting, DC, the foodie, whatever his name is, he went to the Mansfield prison, of course, where they filmed the movie and other movies, Shawshank and other movies. So in terms of people that are now in prison, I really don't know, but this certainly would be the home of one of the most famous inmates in the world.
Well, let me know if you ever get to, like, Jeffrey Dahmer or O.J. Simpson's old house or, something like that.
Well,
that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
I've certainly been to the neighborhood where Jeffrey Dahmer socialized.
What about Sam Shepard's old house? That's an Ohio killing.
Yeah, I think when I was a kid, my dad took us there. I think that kind of came up because he was kind of into that stuff.
Sam Shepard's old house?
Or at least something to do with Sam Shepard. It really kind of goes back. But Matt and Aaron, what do you think? Are you impressed by that, or do you not really care? I thought you might be, Matt, because you're in the age group that I think would be very familiar with this story as well as that performer.
What do you think, Matt?
I know of R. Kelly, but truthfully, I don't think I've ever listened to any of his music. So
well, he's in some prison for some horror.
Neither have I.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know, so I just thought that. I mean, you've heard of it. You're familiar with the story, Scott. So the thing is, I wasn't aware. Again, I thought I was just going to be somebody's condo, but turns out it was a church. And so it doesn't really look like a house. It looks more like a condo or apartment building, but it was pretty cool, you know. I mean, I just saw part of the house. But you never know what hands you're dealt in life.
No dead bodies laying around or anything, were there?
No. I mean, R. Kelly has not owned the house in a while.
Oh, okay.
My understanding is he bought an even bigger house on the south side somewhere. And, you know, it was 20 plus years ago since he's lived there. It's been renovated with other owners. But, I mean, that was a house that, you know, back, I would say, during the height of his popularity, which in the late 90s, that was a house that he hung his hat in.
Well, that is fascinating, I would have to say.
Maybe you think it's boring, but...
No, I think it's very interesting. What I think is interesting? That when you do a house call, you look up the former owners of the home. I think that's interesting.
Normally it's not an issue. I mean, I know the neighborhoods, but I just didn't think to check. And then, I said, this is a gorgeous house, millions of dollars. It's not just a condo, which is normally what's in that neighborhood. I looked it up, my eyes popped out.
Big, expensive home.
Well, $3 million, I have to run a lot of service calls to be able to afford that house.
Well, Adam, I think that's very interesting, and if you have anything else to say, let us know.
Yeah, the big story in Chicago is that apparently the Chicago Bears are going to become the Indiana Bears. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I don't think that'll happen.
Matt, you're a football fan. I'll bring it up to you again. I'm sure you've heard. Interestingly, Indiana would actually have two NFL teams. Ohio has two. Illinois would have none. So... people obviously aren't very happy about that.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, the Bears have been, they were trying to find a new place to build inside of Chicago, but they said they have exhausted all their
options. You know, the politics of sports, as you know, it's a shame that you weren't around like in the 70s and 80s when the politics were not like they are now. It's a shame that you have to be exposed to all this, at a lack of better term, crapola. First of all, there's nothing wrong with Soldier Field, in my opinion. It's a wonderful location, and it really is a shame. I mean, I remember like when Los Angeles lost the football team. Just the politics have really ruined professional sports, and this is another example. It's kind of sad.
Certainly understandable. I don't know if it's a done deal yet, though. I think the revenue there is some.
You can imagine people aren't too happy with the mayor. I mean, he's not the most popular person around anyway. I'm certainly not a fan.
He got elected, didn't he?
Well,
he must have the majority of the vote there.
Well, that happens sometimes. Donald Trump got elected too, right? I mean, you never quite know.
I assume he was more popular at the time. I don't know.
Well, considering whom he replaced, I can't say I'm a fan of either. But maybe that will change. Maybe I'll just run for mayor sometime.
I think that would be very interesting.
That would be comical for sure. We'd have some great sense of humor.
Well, it'd be good.
If I can't solve a problem, I'll just tell a joke.
You might be living in this mayor's old house before you know it.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine who has a residence in Northwest Indiana, he's running, I believe, for mayor. So he posted about it on Facebook, so why not?
Well, you know what? Anybody can run for anything, that's for sure.
Okay, well, that's about all I had to say. I thought you might find that story interesting, Scott. Maybe you don't. Maybe I've wasted...
No, I think it's fascinating.
...time online, but... And Aaron, you know, as a fellow small business owner, I salute you on your successful business, and much luck to you.
I appreciate
your
that.
Mom, I believe Naomi's your mom. Maybe I got the wrong person.
She is. Yeah, she is.
Good. Yeah, well, Naomi, you know, she's quite a character. She is a rebel rouser, you know, kind of like Marion's answer to Andy Rooney with much, much better eyebrows.
Okay. So, yeah. If you ever run into Andy Rooney's old house, Adam, call that in because we'll be all over that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, she's encouraged you. She's an entrepreneur, obviously a landlord herself. I'm trying to get out of the business, but I still am in it somewhat. So, much luck to you, and I hope it grows and you become the one of the biggest landscapers and lawn mowing people in the entire Marion County metropolitan area.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
No, have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Adam. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, man.
Well, there we go, Adam. Kicking off the show tonight. Nothing wrong with that. Always interesting, to be sure, right, Matt?
Oh, yeah. I think it was nice.
All right. Now, what I was going to say was that a many-time guest on this program, I found out, passed away today. And this is right up the alley for this area, this gentleman was. Ned Jarrett. Now, that might not be a name a lot of people recognize, but if you are into NASCAR racing, this is the name you will know. This man raced NASCAR. He was a broadcaster after he got out of NASCAR racing. He was at the first Daytona 500. I believe he called the first Daytona 500 on television in the late 1970s. His son is Dale Jarrett. He got in the business. He won the Daytona 500. He's in the Hall of Fame, the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Died yesterday, but it was announced today at the age of 93. And I love Ned because Ned would come on the show prior to the Daytona 500 every year in February, and he would fill us in on NASCAR. And Ned had a very unique voice. When you heard, I think that's why he was a good broadcaster. A lot of people who are in the sport just get the job because they were in the sport. But Ned had if you were talking to Ned on the phone, he had such a unique Southern accent and a twang in his voice that you knew it was Ned Jarrett. It couldn't be anybody else. He didn't have to introduce himself. He had a nickname, Gentleman Ned, and he certainly was that. The man was always very kind with me. And I just wanted to go back here at the top of the show to an interview I did with Ned in, the date would have been prior to the Daytona 500 in 2019. February 12th, 2019. We're just going to do two clips here tonight. One is this is Ned on the first Daytona 500, which is many years ago now. The late Ned Jarrett on the first Daytona 500, which he was at.
As I had said, this Sunday will be the 60th running of the Daytona 500, the 40th airing of it on television. Now, Ned, 1959, the first Daytona 500, you were around. What are your memories of the first one?
Well, I was there as a spectator. I did not race in it. I was in a transition period. I raced in the sportsman division up through 1958 and then was trying to move into the Grand National Series, and it took me most of 59 to do that. But I went to Daytona as a spectator, and as been said by practically every driver that's ever gone, when I went through that tunnel, I could not believe my eyes as to what I was seeing. To get on the inside and look back above the tunnel and see the high banking of that track, and it was just so huge, 2.5 miles. We'd never seen anything like that before, and so it was just a feeling that's sometimes hard to describe, but it's one that never leaves you, because I still am in awe when I go to that place and see the track. And you know, back then, the first time I looked at it, it was really wide. But when you get out there in a race car going upwards of 200 miles an hour, although my top speed was 178 when I was driving, that was because of the way the cars were then. That's fast as you could go. And if you get out there going that fast, it looks pretty narrow. And I learned, too, when you get to 40, back then we'd run 60 cars in the race. And sort of a awe-inspiring type of a situation that's really hard to describe, because you know, get out there with that many cars going that fast and that close together, I mean, it's just hard to imagine that it could happen. And then to see how it has evolved over the years with the technology that has come along, and the improvement in not only the cars and the engines and the tires and you name it, everything that plays a part in the sport, and to see where it has come since those days.
Ned Jarrett, gone yesterday at the age of 93, announced today. And in that interview, February 12th, 2019, I asked Ned how he would like to be remembered. So, and we'll do more on this on Monday morning, but here's Ned Jarrett from 2019 on how he'd like to be remembered on this program, a guest on this program.
You have spent more than a half century in this business. When it looks back on you, you're in the Hall of Fame. How do you hope it looks back on you?
How do I hope it looks?
Yeah, how would
forward?
You, yeah, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, well, as a guy that was sort of straightforward and honest and that people respected.
The late Ned Jarrett, gone yesterday at the age of 93, and he would always come on. I knew nothing about NASCAR, but he would come on prior to the Daytona 500. Ken Squire used to come on, too, the late Ken Squire, who was really NASCAR's first broadcaster. And he's the one who named the Daytona 500 the Great American Race. And I would have Ken Squire on 1 hour and Ned Jarrett on the other hour, and they would fill in all the holes on NASCAR. So they were always a good pair. And they were also a great broadcast team, so they worked well together. Do you know Ned Jarrett, Matt?
No.
No, you're not a NASCAR person?
I've watched NASCAR. I've been to, like, in person. I went to Michigan, I think, for a NASCAR race. Maybe, I don't know, something like that. But I've been to a NASCAR race. I've seen them on TV, but I don't really watch them. I mean, I know like the checkered flag and like that kind of thing. Even though,
Aaron, you're a fan of NASCAR?
No, I don't really follow that sport either. I follow NHRA.
Yeah. See, I didn't either, but people love NASCAR in this area. It was a big thing. It is a big thing. When I worked at WMRN, when I started the FM channel there, we would broadcast the races on radio every Sunday. And it was a big, big thing. I'm quite sure more people watch the Daytona 500 than watch the Indianapolis 500 now.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I would bet you on that.
It could be a possibility.
I don't know, but I mean, you know, the Indianapolis 500s, that's like one of the biggest races in the country.
It was for a long, long time, but the Daytona 500, I think, has surpassed it. And I know NASCAR certainly makes more off their merchandising. They have had Danica Patrick over the years. They have had Dale Earnhardt. They have had Richard Petty. They have had Jeff Gordon. Names that I know. I honestly, in the last 30
Kyle
years.
Bush, Casey
just
Cannon,
recently
Chase
he died.
Elliott. Chase dead. Elliott's in there now, I guess.
Yeah, but start naming Indianapolis 500 drivers.
I don't know any F1
there races. You go. that tells you where the popularity's at. So very interesting. But Ned Jarrett was always very nice, and as you can tell, his voice was always unique. You always knew it was Ned. So we'll have more coverage on that on Monday, his passing, on this show. Aaron, we want to hear some good music here tonight. What are we going to open up with?
We are going to start off with Hank Williams' Whiskey Band Hellbound.
Oh, here we go. Hank Williams, one of Matt's favorites.
Yes.
All right.
Great to hear that.
Here we go. Aaron Brewer here on WGH Talk. This will be good.
I've got a good woman at home who thinks I do no wrong. But sometimes, Lord, she just ain't always around. And you know that's when I fall. I can't help myself at all. I get whiskey bent and hellbound. Play me some songs about a rambling man. Put a cold one in my hand. 'Cause you know I love to hear those guitar sounds. Don't you play, I'm so lonesome I could cry. 'Cause I'll get all balled up inside. And I get whiskey bent and hellbound. Sure enough, about close in time,
about stoned out of my mind. And I end up with some honky-tonk special I found. Just as sure as the morning sun comes, thinking of my sweet girl at home. And I need to get whiskey bent and hell bound. Play me some songs about a rambling man. Put old Jim Beam in my hand. 'Cause you know I still love to get drunk and hear country sounds. But don't you play your cheating heart, 'cause that'll tear me all apart. And I get whiskey bent and hellbound. Yeah, old Hank songs always make me feel low down.
Very, very nice. Aaron Brewer here on WGH Talk Radio, one of the great country hits.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. Now, what is your favorite genre of music?
Heavy metal.
Heavy metal, really?
Yes, sir.
Really? Now, why heavy metal?
I just kind of grew into it. I used to listen to all kinds of stuff back when I was about 7 or 8 years old. You know, pop, country, rock and roll, like Bob Seger. But then I listened to Metallica for the first time, which, one, most people probably know this song. I just fell in love with that band, man, and then I listened to Enter Sandman, Master of Puppets, and then here we are.
There it is. Now, Matt, what's your favorite genre of music?
Probably rock music, but I don't know that I'm all that... Man, I got something in my throat. I don't know that I'm all that big
of a... It's that chili you eat before the show.
I don't know.
I've warned you time and time again.
I don't know necessarily that I'm big into... I mean, I don't know. I definitely like heavier metal. Like, I like... I mean, I listen to all kinds of music, but, I mean, if I had to pick one genre, I'd be rock. Like, I listen to, like, Five Finger Death Punch, Avenged Sevenfold. I'm also, like, I also like AC/DC, Nirvana, you know, Green Day. You know, I can go on. Mm-hmm. Rock music.
Yeah. Well, and again, the phone lines are open. If anybody'd like to call in, 740-383-9944. We'll take a call here tonight. But I think country music is very popular in this area and always has been. There's something about it that hits a nerve with people, especially the Hank Williams genre of country music. But boy, has it changed.
The golden age.
Outlaw. Yeah.
But it's changed so much. I mean, it had a sort of a rebirth in the 70s with like the Kenny Rogers and the Dolly Parton group. And then in the 90s, it really became a different thing.
Oh, yeah.
With like Reba McEntire and Vince Gill and George Strait and that group. And then now it's a whole different thing with like the Carrie Underwoods and Taylor Swift's and that whole bunch.
Yeah, it's called bro country from what I've heard. Like Morgan Wallen, Post Malone, some other country singers like that too.
Now, Post Malone, Morgan Wallen, they're big. Now, why are they big? What do you think makes them a success?
Possibly because of Post Malone's past career, which was hip-hop and pop and all that stuff. He did eventually switch over to country, and I do listen to some of his songs. They're nice. Morgan Wallen started off with a pretty good one, too. He kind of had like a smooth, calm vibe, kind of like a, you know, you had a sad day and you kind of play this song and all that. And then he kind of switched more to something called bro country. It involves like hip-hop kind of beats and all that kind of stuff. Not necessarily the biggest fan of that, but possibly because how the generation is now, younger generations are listening less to like Outlaw, Waylon Jennings, Hank Williams Jr., Toby Keith. They're focusing more on like Morgan Wallen, Post Malone, newer Luke Bryan and newer Blake Shelton kind of songs.
Jelly Roll?
Yes.
Jelly Roll, very popular. Mm-hmm. Although I hear he's taken a hit since he lost the weight.
Really?
Yeah. People don't like him anymore as much because they want to see a heavier guy out there named Jelly Roll.
Well, I think that Jelly Roll, when he became really popular, I think the Jelly Roll, like, brand image, if you will. I mean, Jelly Roll had, like, a look, you know? I mean, he doesn't have that look anymore. I mean, you know, you could point Jelly Roll out in a crowd from about 20 feet away.
Oh, yeah.
Not anymore.
Mm-mm.
No, he looks completely different. And I think that has hurt him, and people are actually criticizing him for the way he looks now. Which I think is fascinating.
Well, I don't know how he looks now, but I mean, you know,
skinnier.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, that's all, you know, that's good for him, I guess. You know, I think I'd rather have the health benefits than the marketing strategy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're still going to go out there and perform, you don't want to perform to empty rooms.
Oh yeah. I think he's doing just fine.
We'll see how long that lasts.
I'm sure he's taking a hit. I mean, I guess, but I mean, I'm sure he's doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I don't know. I don't hear. I hear bad things for Jelly Roll.
I still listen to Jelly Roll. Haven't been to a Jelly Roll concert, but like if there was one that was nearby, I'd go see Jelly Roll.
Maybe.
Yeah, but if he comes rolling out on the stage, don't you want to see a big guy out there like you used to see?
So long as he sounds the same, I really don't care what he looks like.
Well, absolutely.
See, I don't know. I think that like if what's his name? If Hank Williams Jr. didn't wear the hat and the shady glasses, I think we'd say, well, who's
oh,
that?
Oh Lord.
Yeah,
oh, Lord, no.
We can't. That's right. See, yeah. It's not going to change the sound, but we care that he's wearing the shape. And if Willie Nelson isn't in some old T-shirt and bandana, you know, we're going to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, none of those things. I mean, have any
Johnny Cash comes out in purple.
The man that dresses in black.
Exactly. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And Jelly Roll, same thing.
Well, I mean, I think, like I said, I mean, I think that he, you know, I think that he's probably still doing fine. I think that I think that he'd probably rather the health benefits than the marketing boost.
I agree.
Well, I think that's probably true.
Now,
but
I mean, Willie Nelson's look is iconic. I mean,
what if he comes out in a suit?
I mean, it would be, you know,
problematic.
It'd be different.
But there's no health benefit to him cutting his braids and like, you know, doing all that, and there's no,
well, you never
benefit,
know at his
so.
Age his neck might be getting tired.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying, he's up there in age now. It could help him to wear a suit, straighten up a little bit.
He played well in concert.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah,
he couldn't do a whole concert.
Well, I mean,
if Loretta Lynn did not come out in some old dress, you know, we would be upset about that.
It's kind of like that with Metallica, too, back in 96 when they decided to go with short haircuts and makeup because the original thrash metal is long hair, headbanging, all that stuff, but then they kind of switched to a more calm and strange vibe. It did kind of damage the reputation.
Of course.
But they're still incredibly popular.
Incredible, and I think Jelly Roll's music will stay incredibly popular, but I think Jelly Roll the man will not be seen as a popular.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, I mean, even if people stop going to the shows, I'm sure he's not hurting for money. I mean, the royalties are going to pay pretty well.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
But you can't have a thin Santa Claus. You always want to perform in front of a crowd.
Yeah,
but
he's not Santa Claus.
Yeah. Well, he... Similar look, though. So goes Jelly Roll. Yeah. Aaron, what's up? What's up next on the cavalcade of music today?
We're going to choose In Color by Jamie Johnson.
All right. Just crank up the music there. And
another good song.
You know, my audio was also a little messed up, too.
Yeah, so. That's okay. We got a little little coaching there, which is okay. We don't mind a little coaching.
All right.
Aaron Brewer here on WGH Talk.
Here we go.
I said, Grandpa, what's this picture here? It's all black and white, and it ain't real clear. Is that you there? He said, yeah, I was 11. Times were tough back in 35. That's me and Uncle Joe just trying to survive a cotton farm in the Great Depression. If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color. On this one here was taken overseas in the middle of hell in 1943 in the wintertime. You can almost see my breath. That was my tail gunner, old Johnny McGee. He was a high school teacher from New Orleans, and he had my back right through the day we left. If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color. A
picture's worth a thousand words, but you can't see what those shades of gray keep covered. Should've seen it in color. This one is my favorite one. This is me and Grandma in the summer sun, all dressed up the day we said our vows. You can't tell from here, but it was hot that June. That rose was red and her eyes were blue. And just look at that smile, I was so proud. That's the story of my life. Right there in black and white. And if it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, should've seen it in color. Yeah, a picture's worth a thousand words, but you can't see what those shades of gray keep covered. You should've seen it in color. Yeah, a picture's worth a thousand words, but you can't see what those shades of gray keep covered. Should've seen it in color.
Aaron Brewery here on WGH Talk Radio. Very, very nice song. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Very nice. Matt?
Yes.
Another one of your favorites?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, your favorite is the country, right?
Probably closer to, like, I guess if you wanted to, like, I don't know if country rock is a genre, but, like, I mean, country rock is probably, like
Southern rock is what it would be
Yeah,
called.
Southern rock. Yeah.
That's very good.
Good stuff.
You know.
Did you know that song?
Well, what do you care? What do I know and what I don't know? Yes. I know everything. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you didn't. I was just curious.
Well, why do you want to know?
I don't know.
Very powerful song, I guess.
It was a very powerful song, you see. And I pay attention. You got to keep your eye on all the music.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah. Now, who would you say is the biggest artist in music today?
As much as I don't want to say it, Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. What is her appeal?
This is going to be a very unpopular opinion for some Swifties, including my mom.
Oh, is she a Swiftie? Okay.
Yeah, she's a Swiftie. It's all the same thing. Now, I'm not going to sound a little mean, but it's all women, either between 13 to 48. No offense, Pump. that just love hearing about exes and how the ex always ruins that other one's life. And that's why she's gotten so popular.
That's opinion. True.
I think that's about the most accurate statement
but
I've heard in a while.
Good. That's good, though, because that's a marketing scheme. Just like Jelly
yeah,
Roll.
I was going to say, I mean, she's not down.
Like Jelly Roll weighing 400 pounds.
Yeah.
And that's his marketing scheme. His real name's not Jelly Roll. His mother didn't name him Jelly.
Yeah, but he also said he's been going by Jelly Roll since he's been, like, you know, young.
Well, how do you think he got the name?
Because he's always been a fat kid. He said
that's
so
right.
In an interview.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if Taylor Swift starts singing about broken, I'm telling you, his marriage is going to ruin her. She better get away from that. Get away from that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, she's put I believe she's using this NFL player for material. Well, I believe it's true. I know people don't like that, but it's true.
Surprise me.
That woman is brilliant. She's brilliant.
I think she just
she turned this guy, Mr. NFL, your buddy, Mr. NFL, she turned him into a backup singer.
Yep, she turned Travis Kelce, one of the greatest tight ends of all time, into a backup dancer.
He's a backup dancer now. He's backup dancer.
Look, if that's what he wants to do, then by all means, go live your life.
He doesn't want to do that.
Have a great time, but, you know, retire from the NFL. Like, you know, your production dropped so far last season. Yeah. Like just, look, you either got to focus on football or focus on the backup dancing.
You're already a millionaire.
Yeah, you're already rich. Don't even worry about it. Yeah. If that's what you want to do, then retire.
And especially with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but you don't understand that she wears the pants in that family. And if she says you get out there on that stage, you're going to get out there. He doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
He has no choice. She says, out there. And he says, thank you, ma'am. And he goes on out there and starts shaking himself in a tuxedo. Who do you think came up with that idea? You said, hey. You think he said, hey, I'll dress up in a white tuxedo.
Yeah.
And go out there and be your backup singer, dancer, whatever he is.
I mean, have you guys seen recently he was kind of acting a fool in that stand-up baseball
exactly.
game?
Exactly. Exactly. He's lost his mind.
I mean, he's having fun, I guess, but it kind of doesn't really give a good look.
No, it's a terrible look.
Yeah.
Terrible. Ruined his career.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. He's already a millionaire, plus he's married to Taylor Swift, so...
Yeah, but not for long. I bet you that thing hits the tank quick.
I don't know. Look. She's never been married before, so there's like a slim chance this one lasts.
Yes, but now listen. She's 30-something, right? 30-something years old. But in any event, 30-something years old, and you've been writing these breakup songs for...
Years.
20 years.
Your entire career, yeah.
How do you up your game? You got to get married and write the divorce song. That's what you got to do.
Level up.
Yeah.
She knows what she's doing. She knows what. Then there'll be the divorce. Can you imagine the people that will be lining up for the divorce album? And she married a celebrity.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. The woman is brilliant. I'm telling you, I take my hat off to her. My Cubs cap is tipped to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's just like a woman marrying a rich person for status.
That's exactly right. But she doesn't. She is the rich person. In that relationship,
richer than him.
Yeah, she's a gazillionaire, but he doesn't understand it.
Yeah,
he doesn't understand that she's playing him like a harp,
a fiddle.
Oh, a fiddle! Exactly right. I agree because she's Southern. Yes,
and the odd chance that she's listening to us, Taylor, you're a smart cookie. We know what you're on to.
She is brilliant, brilliant.
It's all the marketing. Friends,
it's genius.
It's genius, and he's sitting there looking like a fool.
You make that album, girl.
Yeah, yes, and I bet you everybody buys it. You don't want to hear the divorce song?
No.
No, you don't? I bet you do, Matt.
I can't stand it.
This is how you know who wears the pants in the relationship.
Well, what is that?
That's a before and after he started dating Taylor Swift.
Because before he was wearing, like, leather jackets. And
What is that hair? Did he just grow his hair out?
What?
What is that? That's a weird-looking picture.
Oh, my God.
Is that him today?
The one with Taylor Swift is him, you know, not too long ago.
He kind of looks like a journalist that I follow named Roger Clark.
There you go. He's ruined his life. Ruined his life. He can never go back either, you know, because...
Oh, no.
What has she changed? Nothing. Mm. Nothing. The only person that's ever stood up to her is John Mayer.
And where he's at.
Well, he's doing okay.
I mean, like you know, look where him and Taylor are at, I guess, is the better way to put it.
Because he stood up to her, and she wrote a breakup song, but it actually benefited him because she talked about how horrible he was to her, and it worked for him because people said, go get her, she's awful, and her people said, oh, poor Taylor, you know, John Mayer's a jerk.
Marketing on both sides.
Mm. Right, but Travis Kelce, he just bent over and kissed her rump.
Yeah, I think that's about right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She's Person of the Year. I mean, for God's sake, she was a 2024 Person of the Year. Or 2023, whatever it was.
Broke more records to Metallica, unfortunately.
Oh, and didn't she break
she's not gonna
an
beat
Elvis
the Beatles.
Record? No, but she beat Elvis. She passed Elvis, I believe.
I mean, Elvis is pretty good and all, but the Beatles has got to be the undisputed greatest
Beatles,
of all time.
Babe. Yep,
undisputed.
You can't beat them.
No, the Beatles are number one.
Undisputed.
And you know, it's very hard to do a Beatles song. I always appreciate when people do a Beatles song. The Leshesky family were in here at Christmas time, and they did Obla-Di-Obla-Da, which is very... That's a good song.
I am able to do Yesterday. Yesterday.
Oh, that's a song. Very good song.
I love
Yesterday's a wonderful song.
I love the Beatles. Beatles are great.
Maybe because of, John Lennon's vocal cords, how they are. They're so high. I can't really get that high, too. So.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, though, I don't like that people are criticizing Paul McCartney now. The man is 80-something years old. Yeah. Glad he can still get out on the
Why
stage.
Why are they criticizing him?
Because his voice is a little weaker than it used to be.
He made some quotes, too, that are a little mean, like... to a band named Slipknot. He called the lead singer a load of garbage, which is a little
Slipknot's good.
That's a little uncalled for.
You like Slipknot?
You know, I used to bring Slipknot up for some reason, and I don't remember why I did, but that's a weird thing. Slipknot, because I used to say you're a fan. I used to tell somebody they were a fan of Slipknot, and they would, no, I'm not a fan of Slipknot, and I would bring that up every time, and I don't know why that became a thing. But I did not know Paul McCartney called the singer lead singer a load of garbage.
He did call some other bands mean names, too. I can't quite remember what he called them, but he kind of goes after other people. Not Sammy, but because, like, he's one of the most popular musicians.
It's Paul McCartney.
It's Paul McCartney. Yeah.
He's been, isn't he like a sir or something over there?
Something like that, yeah.
He's been knighted by the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to Slipknot. Who's Slipknot to Paul McCartney? Nothing. That's like, puh. You know, and let me tell you something about Paul McCartney, too. Paul McCartney has had a very successful career on his own.
Oh, yeah.
He had Wings, which was very popular. And then he also had that Christmas song that plays every year over and over and over.
Simply
and over.
Simply Heaven.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds better than that,
Yeah, see, I'm not a professional.
Yeah, that song, too.
You know, When I'm 64, it's because he's like 84 now.
20 years ago.
Yeah, that was a great... Well, and they were like 24 when they wrote the song,
mm-hmm.
But now, When I'm 64 and he's 84.
He did help write Beatles' last album called "Let It Now and Then" by 2023. Man, that's a great song.
The other "Hello Goodbye" that he sang on the last episode of Colbert.
I can
great
list
song.
All kinds of good Beatles songs. I mean, "Can't Buy Me Love" is good.
Yeah, it's okay.
"Love Me Do's" pretty good.
"Come Together."
Come together is good.
Mm-hmm. But, Eleanor Rigby.
Eleanor Rigby is musical genius. I heard the piano on that is musical genius.
"Let It Be."
"Let It Be." Oh, "Let It Be" really got people.
What do you mean by "Yellow Submarines"? A lot of people have split decisions on the "Yellow Submarine."
I'm not a big fan.
I like "Yellow Submarine."
It's okay. It's not some of their best work, in my opinion.
Well, not off the top, but...
Yeah.
I'll tell you, though, John Lennon, oddly enough, now, some people will say the Beatles' music was his most popular, but "Imagine" became such a popular song.
Imagine people. Mm. That song, I love
that's
that.
That's it, people. Yeah. That song is probably John Lennon's, I would say, signature, because it's all him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the other Beatles. It's not anybody else. It's him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Beatles songs. And there's always the discussion. Michael Jackson, the Beatles, Elvis Presley. Who is it?
Like I said, my opinion, Beatles undisputed.
And it's always the Beatles.
Yeah. Elvis, I've never been a big fan of Elvis. But.
No, I can't. People love him. They love the jumpsuits and all that. But I just could never get into Elvis.
I mean, I don't know. I think if you listen to one song, you know, like the one song, you're probably going to like all of his music. I mean, his music sounds pretty much the same.
Like industrial music?
Yeah.
I did like Jailhouse Rock, though.
Yeah, Jailhouse Rock is good.
Blue Suede Shoes is good. I mean, there's a couple good
ones. Hound Dog. People like Hound Dog.
Hound Dog, yeah.
Aaron, we got about 4 minutes left this hour. What song are you going to wrap this hour up with?
I am going to choose... Pardon me. Ballad of Curtis Lowe.
Oh, here we go.
This is another good one.
Now, remember, we got a whole other hour. We're going to take a 15-minute break at the top of the hour for news and weather, but Aaron will be back with us with live music in the studio up through 10 o'clock tonight, so don't go anywhere. But here is a song before the break. Take it away, Aaron.
Well, I used to wake the morning before the rooster crow, searching for soda bottles to make myself some dough. Brought them down to the corner, down to the country store, cash them in and get my money to a man named Curtis Lowe. Old Kurt was a black man with white curly hair. When he had a fifth of wine, he did not have a care. He used to own an old dump, bro, used to play across his knees. I give old Kurt my money, he'd play all day for me. Play me a song, Curtis Lowe, Curtis Lowe. Well, I got your drinking money, tune up your dope, bro. People said he was a useless, them people all were fools. 'cause Curtis Lowe was the finest picker to ever play the blues. He looked to be 60, and maybe I was 10. Mama used to worry me, but I go see him again. I clap my hands, stomp my feet, try to stay in time. He'd play me a song or two, then take another drink of wine. Play me a song, Curtis Lowe, Curtis Lowe. Well, I got your drinking money, tune up your dobro. People said he was useless, then people all were fools. 'Cause Curtis Lowe was the finest picker to ever play the blues. Yes, sir. On the day old Curtis died, nobody came to pray. Old preacher said some words and they chucked him in the clay. Well, he lived a lifetime playing the black man's blues. And on the day he lost his life, that's all he had to lose. Play me a song, Curtis Lowe, hey Curtis Lowe. I wish that you was here so everyone would know. People said he was useless, then people all were fools. Was Curtis Lowe the finest picker to ever play the blues?
Aaron Brewer live here on WGH Talk Radio. Go get some cheese dip. Come back with us. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
.com, address 1377 Marion Waldo Road. Marion Self Storage. Telephone number 220-666-0956. WGH Talk celebrates America 250.